Now, for some of you, when I say good deeds, we think about like the nice things that we do for one another, right? We help people, we hold the door open for people, or we help them across the street. I remember being a bagger at a grocery store. One of the good deeds that we would do is carry their groceries out to the car if they needed help. We do good deeds, and we see good deeds being done around the world. When tragedies strike, we see how the human race comes together to try to comfort, to try to do good. And so I wrestle with sometimes what it is that makes us different. If we are, as a Christian body, doing good works and doing good deeds, what makes us different than, say, the Lions Club or Rotary or any other long list of groups out there that are very beneficial to society and very helpful in different ways? And I wanted today to kind of look and see how that when we do good deeds, that we do them differently and for a different reason. And I want to talk about doing good deeds that are done right. And so if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we'll start here. In this verse, it is right after the description that Paul gives that in his explanation that works are not what gives us salvation. Works are not what gets us to heaven. Verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter 2 says that it is by faith that we are forgiven because of the grace of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. So today, let me tell you that we up front tell you that there is nothing you can do. There is no good work that will get you saved. But because you're saved, Paul writes in verse 10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, we have a little bit of a problem. We who gave our lives to Christ when we were younger, the good deeds that we do are credited to Christ. But maybe if you lived your life a little longer and then gave yourself to Christ, the good deeds you did before were for you. And for all of those who give good works and do good works in this world and they do them outside of Christ, they do them for themselves. Because Paul writes here, it is for Christ that we were created to do good works. It was for Christ that we were predestined, Paul writes elsewhere in chapter 2, predestined to do good things. To do good. Now, the question about am I a good person or bad person? Am I good? We all like to be good, right? Some of you are shaking your heads. No, yes. We love that. Ever since we were a little kid, that's what we were taught. That's what we're kind of preached to, even as a child. Like your parents probably told you that, right? Be good. Could you just be good for 5 minutes, right? Mom at the grocery store in the line. Like, just give me 5 more minutes to check out. Just be good. But we struggle with that as an adult sometimes, because what is good? And today I want to walk through some of these things that I believe helps us to understand and explain what good is. See, we are predestined to be in Christ, those of us who are believers, and we are designed to go into Him and do good works for Him. Because we are shaped by God. That's the first thing I want us to see today. We are shaped by God. Many of you know this passage in Psalm 139. It says, "For you created my innermost being." They're speaking to God. God created our innermost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb. We should praise Him because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I love this next line. Your works. God's works are, say that last word with me, wonderful. I want you to, if you have a problem, which many of us do, maybe accepting ourselves, I want you to take this verse, and I want you to take that last part particularly, and maybe you tape it to your mirror, and you look at it in the morning. And tell yourself, you are a work of God, and His works are wonderful. Maybe your hair's turning gray, or it's gone. Maybe there's some wrinkles. You get the second and third chin. I don't know. But you are wonderfully made. God made you. He shaped you. Now, not just physically, because he and I are going to talk about that. I needed to be a little bit taller. He had me the right weight. I need about 6 more inches height. That'd be perfect. We have not just the physical characteristics that he's given us, but the internal characteristics. You know, there are a lot of people who can do a lot of different things. And we talked about this last week when we discussed the church and how God made each one of us unique and differently and gave us special spiritual gifts and abilities. And he placed each one in the body where they needed to be. Because he shaped us to be exactly where we are and what we are. Those little quirky things that you do, God gave those to you. I didn't get an amen on that one. Maybe you'll have your talk with God too. Like, really? Like, why'd you give me that? And I'm excited to see when he says, well, I gave you that because of this. I'll be like, oh. Or maybe he won't tell me. He'll go, ah. Just keep you guessing. But he shaped you and made you the way that you are. The second thing I want us to see is that he made us to be useful and valuable. Useful and valuable. Matthew 25, verse 21. It's the story where Jesus is telling about this master, this king, who had 3 servants, and he gave each one of them a portion. And said, I'm going to go away. And when I come back, there's an accounting to be done. And so he left. The king left. And when he came back, he called those servants in. And the servant came in who said, you gave me 5 and I now have 10. I took what you gave me and we've multiplied it. We used it. And the king will respond and said this in verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And part of this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples in this parable here is the fact that he wants us to have everything that the kingdom has to offer. All the power, all the abilities, everything that Christ had, he said, well, be with us and more so. Because we will have the Holy Spirit indwelled in us. And I want you to be useful and valuable. Now, I don't know if you have any kids who were fans of Thomas the Train. If you did, like I did, one of the themes that I love about Thomas the Train is that all the trains want to be useful. The trains want to do what the conductor wanted them to do, what Sir Topham Hatt, the owner of the train line, wanted them to do. And nothing made the little trains toot happier than when Sir Topham Hatt would come up and say, what a useful engine you are. That seems so childish, doesn't it? It's so simple. It's just Thomas and a little guy with a top hat called Sir Topham Hatt. Did you know that Thomas the Train was originally created by a minister as a story to tell his kids and teach them the morals and values of the Bible? See, the translation here is God owns the train line. He's the owner of the universe. He owns our life. He owns everything in it. He has given us each certain assignments, and we're supposed to carry them out. And one day, if we do that, we will stand before Him. And I can't wait to hear, or hopefully hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. What a useful little engine you were." When we talk about the good deeds that we should be doing, it's because we are shaped by God to do certain things, and we are supposed to be useful and valuable. There's a lot of good deeds that really add up to nothing, don't they? There's a lot of busy work in this world. What God, I believe, is engineered us and designed us for is for good deeds that accomplish things, because the third thing I want us to see is that they are practical and purposeful. Practical and purposeful. When we have good deeds that are done, there are a lot of things that can be categorized as good deeds that are amazing, and they are huge, and they're global impacting. But Jesus tells a story in which He says that there will be a day when you will stand before my Father, before me, and we're going to have a little conversation, and I'm going to separate those who were sheep and those who were goats. In other words, those who were mine and those who are not. Those who did good and those who did not. And He says to the sheep, I will say this, and this is in Matthew 25. He will say to the sheep, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." There's one thing that I love about Christ is that He breaks it down sometimes for us in the simplest of terms. For those of us who need some like A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, here's the steps. If you want to do good, here's what you do. In other words, if you just do life and do well and love other people and care for them, if you see a need, fill it, meet it. And if you do it in my name, it's as though you're doing it for me. Practical and purposeful. And what that looks like in your life is going to be different than what it may look like in your neighbor's life, or in my life, or in your children's life, or your parents' life. Now, you've heard me tell the story before that when I was younger, my mom bought a piano and had me take lessons because she wanted to take piano lessons. That was her dream, not mine. 8 years and I don't know how many lessons later, I think the notes are A, B, G, C, D. I'm not even sure what the notes are. I tell you this because I am facing this in my own life as my children grow up and grow older, is to not impose upon them and instill in them my vision and my dreams and my purpose. Because their purpose is different. God, according to Psalm 139 we read earlier, knit them together in their mother's womb, unique. Although they may look like me, and unfortunately sometimes act like me, they are not me. So parents, let us be wary of imposing on them our vision and purpose. And let us celebrate when our children do things that are shaped and they are formed for and they express their love for Christ in however which way they do it. And stand back and let this be amazed. And let us encourage them to do things in small ways. It doesn't have to be that you rally the entire world to come together to help the tsunami victims. It could be that right here in this town, you went door to door and grabbed a couple of bags full of canned goods and took them to the homeless shelter. I don't know what it is, but let us celebrate it because God has made it practical and purposeful. Well, today I want to invite Kelly Jenkins up to the stage because Kelly has had an experience in this last year. And so I just tell you right up front, Kelly's experience was Kelly's experience. It's not for all of us. But I believe that her experience helps us, and I'll let you have the microphone. Okay. Can you handle that?
I think so.
Okay. But Kelly's experience helps us to look at this from the perspective that we're going to talk about how that God has shaped her uniquely to do a certain thing, and that it's a useful and purposeful, practical thing. So, Kelly, I have a couple of questions, and we have some pictures up on the screen here. This is from her trip to Mongolia.
Yep.
And you went with a group, and the name of the group was?
Cowboys with a Mission. They're a portion of YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. They're all about sending youth out all throughout the world to share the gospel.
But it has nothing to do with the Cowboys from Dallas, right?
No, nothing
okay.
at all.
All right. This is Cowboys with a Mission. Kelly, when we looked at the scripture earlier and talked about how that God shapes each and every one of us in specific ways to do specific types of ministry, how do you feel that God shaped you? Because honestly, I never had heard of Cowboys for a Mission until you came and discussed it with me. But it sounds really, really exciting. So how did God shape you to be a cowboy with a mission?
Well, as a kid, I've always loved being outside. It was always a great adventure. Every day as a kid was an adventure for me, and I loved spending it outside, and usually my bike was my horse, and my imagination was great. But then my sister and her husband, they started going out to Wyoming a lot, and they kind of paved the way for me to find out about Cowboys with a Mission, and everything just fell together, and I prayed about it after I found out about it, and I'm like, God, is this what you want for me? Am I ready for this? And he just had me move forward in it, and so I did it, and it was amazing. It was such an awesome experience, and it just felt right. I felt like I was in the right place.
Well, I have to tell you, when the first time that I went to the Jenkins home, they invited us over for dinner. I was walking up to the house, and there was this like one-man tent outside the house. And I said, has somebody been camping? And they go, no, that's just where Kelly prefers to sleep. So I knew right away that you were shaped differently than I was. Didn't have air conditioning or anything like that. How did you prepare for your trip to go to Mongolia? I mean, you didn't just like, hey, we showed up, threw my cowboy boots on, and took off, right?
No, the schooling had 3 months of a lecture phase. They brought in speakers from all over the country to each week to share a different topic, like knowing who God really is and the Father heart of God and spiritual warfare and relationships. And then we learned a little bit about teaching English so we could have something else to take with us.
And this training took place in where at?
Wyoming. They also trained us a lot of the cowboying stuff, and we did a lot of brandings, and we did a lot of training with roping and horsemanship training. And with that training, we helped go around to the community. We served the local ranches in the area.
Yeah, talk to me. When we talk about ministry is useful and practical in the community there in Wyoming, so not just in Mongolia, but right there where the camp is, how were you impacting the community around that training facility?
The school had to build the relationships with the people in the area. They're kind of closed. But the leaders that had been there for a while, they had really worked hard in being consistent in who they were and always reaching out a helping hand. And they used the students to go and do that. And to anytime they needed help with brandings or moving cattle or anything like that, we were one of the first people there to help. And, I mean, they're not paying us or anything. It was just free help, and it was awesome. We loved it, and It's a good way to get to know the cowboys in the area and the ranchers in the area. Mormonism is a big thing there, so it's a good way to reach people by working beside them. And then after we would do brandings or rounding up the cattle, we would usually have a meal afterwards. So we would help work and serve beside them, and then we'd share a meal with them. And they have cowboy church every Thursday night, and a lot of the ranchers have actually started coming to the church because of the service we've done. And just, we're not trying to change people. We're not trying to change who they are. We're just being there with them and being a light and being an example to them.
And this is the picture that's up in the top left here. That's you guys wrestling. What is that, a cow down?
That's Brandon. That was our first branding. That was.
Did anybody accidentally get branded? Did you brand each other?
No. No, but it came close several times, for sure.
I liked how you said it was like not changing people. Like, they're still cowboys, but you're bringing them Christ where they're at.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that you did? And you mentioned English, but what were the practical, purposeful things that you did when you went to Mongolia? How did you share with the kids there? And there's a picture of you with some kids, looks like on a playground.
Yeah.
What were you doing interacting with kids? How were you sharing Christ there?
We taught English classes. We made up our own curriculum and went with it. And we would teach in churches, and we taught in a teepee. We taught in this great big tent one time. The wind ended up knocking it down. We were able to share the gospel through our English classes, and we were actually able to share some Bible stories to the kids, and we had at least 10 kids give their life to Christ, and there may have been more. We're not sure. And we were able to, by doing that, we were teaching a shaman's daughter. A shaman is kind of like a medicine man. He's very high spiritual position in Mongolia, but it's a very dangerous position, and a lot of they deal with a lot of evil spirits. And we were able to tell a story to a shaman's daughter, and it opened the door to, he asked one of our leaders what she believed, and we were not allowed to tell unless they asked. And he just outright asked her, and that was amazing. She had been praying for him for 2 years, and she finally got the opportunity to do that.
Wow. So she got to share Christ with her dad, who was a shaman, or this.
The leader got to.
Oh,
share
the leader
Christ.
Got to share with Christ with. Him. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now when you and I talked earlier, like some of the spiritual things that happened over there, I know it changed you. You said your prayer life changed a little bit because of this. Talk to me about this experience and how it affected you.
Well, for a good portion of the trip, I was dealing with a lot of insignificance and not knowing where my place was in the team, because so many of the other team members, they were so good at everything. They were so good at teaching, and you know, I'm not really that good in front of people. And a lot of the guys were good at the cowboying and working with the animals and preaching, and so I had a hard time finding out where my place was and wanting to do something and wanting to make a difference and wanting my prayers to just be heard by people. And so many of the other students had these awesome, just really powerful prayers, and God showed me that he does hear my prayers. He spoke to me one time whenever I was just thinking that. I'm like, I wish I could share a prayer that people would just hear and they would take with them. And he's like, well, I hear your prayers, even if other people don't. And that's what matters, and the fact of being obedient is what matters. And he showed me that I'm really good at one-on-ones with people. I'm really good with individuals and just talking with them. I actually was able to get invited into a young woman's home, and we got to pray for her sick mom. And if I didn't take the time to sit and speak with her, I mean, she's Mongolian. She had no idea how to speak English. I had no idea how to speak Mongolian. And we were able to communicate enough to get an invitation to go to her home. And that was crazy. That was an amazing experience too.
Awesome. So even within the group who were all there, you saw how that God shaped everybody to be different.
Yeah.
And they all had different roles.
Oh, yeah.
And God revealed some of those things for you. And talk to me about what God's doing in your life right now, moving forward, because of this experience. What's God been doing?
Well, when I got back, I really started praying about going back on staff back in Wyoming at CWM and what my role would be there. And I felt like he's leading me back there. He wants me to move forward and going back there on staff and doing one-on-ones with the female students there. They're actually, the ratio of girls are outweighing the guys, so they need a lot more of female staff to do that with the girls. And I really have this heart for the community in Wyoming, just the ranchers. And I loved talking with the ranchers and hearing their stories and how they got there. And ranching is not easy, and it's a hard life. And just hearing some of the hardships in their lives, and they just need people to listen to them and just be that light. I think there's a draw to Christ whenever someone just listens to them. Mm-hmm. They just need someone to hear what they're saying. So I'm moving forward with it, and I'm planning on heading out there in January, and we'll see what happens. God may have me be doing all kinds of things, but the leaders specifically told me that they really pushed their staff to face their fears, and I think that's really neat, because I've got a lot of fears, but I want to overcome them and be able to do what God wants me to do. And I'm really excited to do that.
Well, you faced one of your fears by coming up here to speak today. So I think you do great speaking in front of people.
Thank you.
So a couple of things that I take away from Kelly's story is, number one is everybody has these unique things. I don't know even how to get on a horse, but so God didn't call me that. But you, on the other hand, obviously do and love being with horses and being outside. You don't have to be perfect or polished. I know a lot of us think that we have to be almost professional before we can go and do good things and minister to people, but we don't. And God will equip those who are available. And I've seen him doing that in the last few months with you.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to do now, because I know that this is like really heavy on your heart and you've made this decision, but it's still not, we don't know what the result is going to be like that. So I would like to do is take the time right now as a congregation. I want us to pray on Kelly's behalf and with Kelly about God opening doors and making her path clear to go and do these things, whether it's in Wyoming and in Mongolia, but just how God has shaped her to use her so that she can find that purpose. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Kelly. And Heavenly Father, we just trust you. Number one, because you have molded her and made her the woman that you have designed since beginning of time. You already have a plan for her, God. So I just ask and request, God, that you would just reveal it to her through your word, through her prayer, and through open doors as people provide opportunity for her. God, I pray for we who are here in Newburgh that we will be able to continue to pray for her. And God, we know that as we send one of our own out, God, what she does in your name reflects on us here. So God, we continue to support her in prayer, and we lift her up. Just make her way clear and make it purposeful and useful and bringing glory to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Let's appreciate Kelly. Thank you. So, roping and branding. That ministry will start next week. Now, all of these things that Kelly mentioned, other things that we could go on. I'm sure we could bring other examples up here because I know many of you serve in the community and do good things. What sets them apart from anything else, is that when we do them in the name of Christ, the fourth and final thing I want us to see today is that our good deeds bring glory to God. They bring glory to God. What is the difference between those of us who are Christians and do things for the world and those who are not? I believe it comes down to this. 1 Peter 2:12 tells us that we should live such good lives among the pagans, in other words, non-believers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds. Your good deeds. And glorify God on the day that He visits us. This is Peter telling us that when Christ returns, when God comes back, when He reveals Himself to the whole world, people will recognize and say, wow, those guys did good things. They were the real deal. A test for us then, when we looked at our things that we do, is that we should be useful, we should be purposeful, we should do things that we are shaped for, that God has made us to do. And last week I shared some things that I believe that this church's vision and purpose and usefulness in this community. But if we build buildings and we increase in numbers and we do good deeds in the community and we do it outside of Christ, we do it in vain. So we must do it in the name of Christ and bring glory to Him. And though we may not get the pat on the back right now, though they may oppose us in the community, even while we're doing good for them, know that when the day comes, when God and Christ is revealed in their heart, whether it's here on this earth or it's in heaven when they pass away, they will know those guys were real and authentic, which is one of our core values, to be authentic in our faith. So we do good deeds, not for the sake of just doing them, but we do them, and what sets us apart is we do it to bring glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You allow us, that You invite us to do good things, that You predestined us, You made us to do them, each one of us uniquely and specially made just for that spot at this right time. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that we would just honor that by doing what we have been called to do. Great or small, in public or in private, may our good deeds be recorded in Your book, because God, we do it not working for man and seeking appreciation from him, but God, we do it because we are of Your family, and we do it because You shaped us and molded us to do it. God, we pray that it brings glory to Your name and Your kingdom. For without You, there is nothing. And all that we do is in vain. Help us to do it for You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.